8 o'clock already, I was just in the middle of a dream. Harmontown is now in session, let me hear all my Harmonian scream. Oh shit! It's Monday night, we're at the Meltdown Theater in Hollywood, California. Harmontown is once again in session, you lucky devils. Won't you please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Davis, your comptroller. Harmontown's comptroller. That's an interesting choice for opening music. We referenced it inadvertently last week. Do you remember?
I don't.
No, D.C. Pearson's episode, when he was a guest, I said, God damn it, I don't know, somebody, I told them I was lost in their eyes and was kissing them by a crystal blue Italian stream.
That's right.
It's a lyric from that song.
I was driving here in my car and I had my whole iPod on shuffle and that came up and I was like, I've never started the show with Manic Monday.
Manic Monday.
Yeah.
The podcast probably airs around Thursday, but for these people here tonight, it's another hopefully Manic Monday. They need a little mania to keep them awake because tomorrow's Tuesday and they got shit to do. but you're shit out of luck because I just got over like a 3 or 4 day cold. I don't know if you can hear my David Duchovny Willie Nelson congestion, but I've been sitting in bed watching Gene Hackman movies for 4 days. By a crystal blue Italian stream.
Only Gene Hackman?
Well, I went on a little Gene Hackman bender. I watched Night Moves. I'd never seen Night Moves. It was nice. There's a scene where he's laying face down. This could only happen in the 70s. It just cuts to Gene Hackman naked, just finished boning his ex-wife, and he's laying face down, and there's a fondue pot in front of him, and he's naked, and he's got his foot on her tit. Like, she's sitting against the headboard, like sitting up in bed, and Gene Hackman is laying face down
towards the camera,
and there's fondue at the foot of the bed, so there's a pot in front of the camera.
That sounds like a real hazard.
If this was in 3D, the first thing in front of your face that you would reach out and touch would be a fondue pot. The second thing would be Gene Hackman. The third thing would be his foot, and the fourth thing right under that would be this woman's tit. And he's just got a big smile on his face, and he's solving a murder case.
Is it a cheat? My parents had a lot of sexy 70s, early 80s fondue parties. Was this like hot oil and meat, or was this cheese?
I was dying to know whether it was chocolate or cheese.
Chocolate or cheese.
The whole scene, he was just... you could tell that it was like a situation where the actor just asked for some business. I have a feeling the fondue pot was requested by the actor.
No.
And I have a feeling it was empty, and I think he just sat there and played with something on a stick, and then played with her tit with his foot.
You almost destroyed the vodka.
Yeah. it's another Manic Monday. Whatever. We got off to a slow start, and we're going to have a slow middle, and then we're going to end the show very slowly.
Well, maybe we should start off with a bang, then.
Because I kind of can't. I have that congestion where you can't. I don't even know if anyone can hear me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's this will make people angry. Imagine what it's like to be deaf. No, probably not. I don't think. But I mean, as close as I can get. You're kind of like talking out into nothingness, and... that's good. They brought the lights up more to compensate for my lack of other senses. I'm like Daredevil, but ineffective.
It should be the other way around. Your lack of hearing should heighten your vision right now.
Everything should be the other way around, Jeff, which is a segue into a favorite segment called Things Dan Harmon Has to Complain About That He's Afraid to Complain About Because It'll Make Him Sound Like a Bad Person. Thank you. I have 5,000 Facebook friends, which makes my calendar very unmanageable. There's a lot of settings that I don't understand. My Google Calendar and my Facebook are somehow interwoven, and I'm 40, and I'm not going to put the time into figuring it out anymore. So I just have this calendar. I just go, do I have anything going on today? And the answer is always yes. It'll just say, Chip and Simmons dating hour is at UCB. What? What is that? Oh, it's Maggie Molina's birthday. What? I don't... That's my complaint. 5,000.
Baby Mac, dressed in black.
There's got to be some...
I'm trying to punctuate this as best I can, man. I'm trying to showbiz up this bit a little bit.
There's got to be some checkbox. There's got to be some checkbook. I can make a check out to Facebook. There's got to be a checkbox somewhere where it says, like, yeah, sure, every time someone has an improv show that is on my Facebook thing, I don't want that on my Google calendar. I feel so fucking old. And I'm not complaining about that. It's just amazing. I've said this before. I remember my grandpa before, after he killed the Japanese and for our country, and after he drove a truck, and after he blew up in an oil tank, and after he did a million amazing things, right before he died of emphysema, he was the treasurer for his Freemason club, and he had a little Mac, a little tiny Mac, and he was just like using his little skin grafted hand to like learn like Quicken, and he would get so frustrated with the goddamn fucking computer. God damn it, Danny, can you tell me how the goddamn spreadsheet works? And I would go, I'm not sure. Well, go up the thing. But I remember thinking in my head, like, ah, Grandpa, come on, don't try to use a computer. And I'm not that much, like, it's you can, the technology's moving faster now, so I think I'm exactly where my grandpa was right before he died in terms of like understanding goddamn computers. It's not exciting
to
talk about.
Was that one of them?
No, that's something I'm not allowed to complain about, because it'll make people think I'm boring.
Sorry.
All right, there's only one more item in this segment. The professional puppy that I'm breeding through a professional puppy breeder.
You're breeding a professional puppy?
Yeah. it's going to pull down $20,000 a year. Just licking its balls.
What? Oh, yeah, I was going to say, what line of work is this puppy going to go into?
Hanging out. No, it's we went through a breeder. This is why I'm not allowed to complain about it, because you're supposed to rescue your pets, and I don't want to talk about it. But it's for my cat, my AIDS-having cat that is a rescue
Just
cat.
Just because your cat has AIDS doesn't make you buying a purebred dog, you know, yeah, any cooler.
No, it doesn't make it cooler, but it makes it permissible, because I can't bring a three-legged, one-eyed, fucked-up Ukrainian dog into the house with my AIDS cat hanging out, whose immune system, which is linked to stress and territory. Cats are territorial. She's I don't know how much longer she has to live. I know it's her house. It's her rules. I love her. She was there first. She's a rescue cat. I'm not going to bring some maniac into the house.
Dogs are all maniacs, though.
Well, not little pity puppies that come in a little pity puppy box. That
if puppies don't come in a box, Dan.
If she's there when the box is open,
if your puppy
she
comes
can
in a
squat
box.
It on the head and assert dominance. It's the safest route to go. Okay? And I'm not going to go to one of those weird Koreatown puppy stores where the puppies are in the fish tank or whatever. I went through a respectable breeder who's breeding a healthy hybrid.
When is the dog going to come in? And when does the box arrive?
A couple months now. There's the different stages. They were just born. The mother just gave birth to 13 puppies. Huh. 13 puppy litter.
That's bad luck, you know.
It's bad. It's bad luck for the 13th puppy, yeah. Because there's only 12 nipples. Look it up. It's probably like six. Yes, I don't know. but the dog nipples are dichotomous. They have two openings on them, so for a maximum of 12 dogs. That's also not true. give birth. I'm assuming they would tell us in the email. They send us ultrasounds, like we could see the little dog skeletons in the larger dog skeleton. And then I'm assuming they would tell us. A lot of times, especially with a larger litter, there's some tragedies, you know, with cats and dogs. There's a stillborn.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they would tell us. So 13 newborn puppies without a single tragedy is really, that's a lucky dog.
And what sort of dog are you getting?
It's a half golden retriever, half poodle.
And what do you call it?
A retriever maximus. Golden doodle.
Yeah.
You don't have to call it that.
Have you got a name for it?
No. We're gonna let that happen organically.
All right. As organic as ordering a dog, huh? Are you getting lots of shit from people for not rescuing a dog?
No. Just a couple people initially, but now I've learned to walk around with a giant asterisk and cut everyone off at the pass and be a big, you know, bore people with. Before you say anything.
my cat has AIDS.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, my cat, I don't know if... my cat has no name. My cat's name is Fivian, F-I-V, because when we rescued my cat, we were told, the vet said, it has F-I-V. What's that? Oh, it's like HIV, but for cats. Oh, shit, we rescued a cat that's like, we're going to just spend the last act of a Julia Roberts movie with this thing. let's not name it. Like, let's just love it and let it live its wild life. It, you know, and we'll feed it and we'll let it kind of shuffle off to Buffalo. And Buffalo is where I believe you go when you die.
It's where you get your wings.
And so it's like 13 years later or something, and the cat's name is Fiv, F-I-V. It happens. It never happens with human beings, but it happens. But speaking of death, let's keep the theme of death going. I want to bring up a special friend who comes here very often, who's very interesting, and we should have often talked to him. Shit, we got a lot of people that fit that category. I just realized I perked up like six people. I want to bring up Brian W. Collins. Is he here? Brian, are you here? No. Okay, that's good. Actually.
Okay, you know why? Because we have a replacement for him.
Yeah.
How about Doug Benson, everybody? Welcome, Doug Benson.
Sure, yeah.
Hey, everybody. What were you going to talk to him about? I'll just talk about that with you.
Can you pretend you just ended your blog where you watch a horror movie a day?
it was tough to get through, but I did it, Dan.
and I'm
happy to be here and talk about it.
But you actually, that's not even that ironic, because you do Doug Loves Movies.
I do love movies.
You're a guy who can talk to about movies.
Sure.
I just saw Wreck-It Ralph, if you've seen that.
Yeah.
Did you?
You guys heard of this thing? Yeah, I love it. I love it. I saw it last November when it came out.
Yeah.
And I really ate it up.
My podcast is called Dan Likes Movies, kind of.
Dan gets
around
to
catches up with them
movies.
Eventually. Yeah. Dan likes some of his screeners.
Yeah. Dan has Netflix.
Dan gets sick every once a year. It got me, man. I was bawling like a maniac.
Oh, you watched it during you took a break from Gene Hackman to watch Wreck-It Ralph?
I just watched it today with my girlfriend, yeah. It killed me. God, it got me good.
What do you think Gene Hackman looks like, just not to change the subject on you, but what do you think he looks like right now? When was Welcome to Mooseport? Which should not be his last movie, first of all.
I didn't. That was Ray Romano, right?
Yeah.
I didn't see that, and I didn't see him in the trailer, so I don't even.
He
have
did
that.
Tenenbaums, which is like not only a great movie, but his performance is amazing. And then, Welcome to Mooseport was his swan song.
Do you think he's on hard health or something? Do you think he's?
I just think he. Well, to
is he Shatnering?
To completely stop acting, and he doesn't even do voiceovers for Lowe's or whatever it was he was doing.
Oh yeah.
So I think he's like. Remember when Henry Fonda showed up and on Golden Pond, and it was like, holy fuck, what happened to him? Because he didn't do a movie for 10 years, and then he showed up crazy old. Mm-hmm. When's Gene Hackman going to do that?
Yeah.
Is my question.
Well, it seems like he's been doing that since the 70s. I mean, he's sort of like the Betty White of men. Like, he like in the 70s, which was cool, like I was showing my girlfriend, we went on this kick of like, let's watch 70s movies, because she's 29, 28? Wait, Aaron, what did you just turn? 28.
Yeah. Hi, Aaron.
I thought you said bye, Aaron, because I'm like, eh.
See ya.
What
Get
color
out of
are
here.
Your eyes?
Get
bye,
out of here,
Aaron.
Youngin.
I was explaining to her, like, man, look at Donald Sutherland. Look at him. Look at Donald Sutherland. He was a leading man. He was a sex symbol in the 70s. That's how few people on the planet there were. Like, it was such an amazing time.
He and Elliot Gould.
Yeah,
were the top two movie stars.
And who else? Who else?
Alan Arkin.
God damn it. Well, there was somebody who was in a Raymond Chandler like thing. Was it Elliot Gould? Yeah, I think it was Elliot Gould. It was like The Long Goodnight or something that. Yeah. God damn it. Long Goodbye.
Long
okay.
Goodbye.
It was The Long Something. And there was a God, it was like guys like your dad. There was like guys with beards and checkered shirts, and like I long for those days. Like to
Well, you're bringing it back.
like to go back to the make a brief stop in the 80s and be a rap sensation by rhyming me with free and saying ha 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 for the rest of the lyrics. And then but then straight back to the 70s where I would be a sex symbol just for a little bit in like a horror movie. I'd be like the lumberjack that came by and was like, what's going on? What's the problem? The mercury poisoning's making bears bigger. I'll check it out. But first I'm gonna fuck her and her. Then I'm gonna wrestle that bear.
So I watched one horror movie a day. Is that what I did?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
did.
I wrote a blog about
it. Your name's Brian W. Collins. I think your blog is probably called horrormovieaday.com. I'm gonna assume. Does anyone know that that's true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that Brian Collins?
That's Brian Collins' lawyer.
And does he love all of them, or is he critical of them?
I think it's safe to say he's a huge fan of the genre in general, to the point where he's willing to tolerate warts and all, you know, that he recognizes good ones and bad ones.
There's a lot of warts in that genre.
Doug, what is your movie schedule? Like, how do you intake that many movies? Are you always in the theaters? Like, how do you,
I just have them implanted in my brain.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, right now I'm watching Brave.
So it's Oh, I cried.
Finally getting cried. Around to that.
Oh, yeah. When the bear eats the salmon, fucking that got me. It was a goodie.
There's a scene in a restaurant?
No. Where the bear...
Where a bear orders sushi?
The mom in Brave turns into a bear, and then she has to learn how to eat salmon, but she's not a bear. She's a woman. She's a queen. And then the daughter has to teach her how to fish, and it's I cried. I'm an idiot.
That movie was not sold as a movie about bears.
Yeah,
no, it was supposed to be about a young girl who's good at archery.
Yeah.
I liked it though because it was only about women. There was no damsel in distress, no knight in shining armor bullshit. It was really just about like female characters, and it a guy didn't come in and save the day for once. I kind of like that. Yeah, thank you.
And she didn't shave off all of her hair like Felicity. She kept that beautiful mane.
Did Felicity do that to make a point that I'm bigger than my hair? Or
yeah, I think the idea was that it was such a big move for Felicity to shave it off, and then the ratings dropped.
Yeah, and it was like, you think about her hair, it's true.
Yeah, that hair was important. But she doesn't have that hair on The Americans. Have you seen The Americans?
No.
It's that FX show where she's like a Soviet spy pretending to be American.
And she has short hair?
Not short hair, but she doesn't have the curls.
Okay.
You know, she has Russian hair.
And her name's not Felicity, right, on that show? So she eliminated everything. She got the whack-a-mole game right. She knows that she's a good person. She did it.
Whack-a-mole?
Yeah, like... I'm assuming that she eliminates her hair. She's like, God damn it, it's just my hair. Like she's in the shopping aisle and she sees Us magazine and it says like, best hair ever, Felicity. And she's like, fuck this, I'm cutting off my hair. And then she cuts it off and they're like, hey, good job acting. Where'd your hair go? And then she like gets a different job, but maybe the character's name is Felicity. I was thinking maybe it was hard for her to nail down all the variables that she's in a quest to figure out that she's a good person.
All right.
I guess I can't back that up. All right.
I like it. And back to Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah. Good movie.
You enjoyed it?
I did. I found it not only touching in that kind of cloying way that most of those movies you can kind of count on being touched now. Like it's,
sure.
It's sort of like being Catholic. Hello! It's in the way that you use it. You can kind of, I mean, to the point where they can actually make you well up and you're kind of like, now we take that for granted. We're going, I'm going to Pixar tier coming down. It's just, you know, the guy is like such good animation. I can tell how alone he is. But it's like, it's another thing to have that. And then also like, it's kind of profound. Like I thought like there's, I don't know. It's sort of feel, there's a social subversiveness to it. Like all that filtered through. It's a movie for kids, but I was watching it going like, I can't really nail them down on any bad messaging for anybody in particular. They really had to thread a needle because there's a there's a character in the movie that's like congenitally afflicted, and it's like, oh, you're special, you're not special, and I was like, how are they gonna land this? Is the moral gonna be that she needs to not be afflicted, or is the moral gonna be that her affliction is a gift? Blah, 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 like because it's hard to get through those highway cones these days, and I thought they got through them as well as you possibly could.
What was the moral eventually? I forgot.
It was like, there's evil people in the world that made you afflicted, but your affliction is a matter of perception. So as soon as you just participate with your affliction, you stop being afflicted. So it's really just a matter.
So it's kind of like thalidomide babies.
Yeah, just if you're a thalidomide baby, host a talk show. That's the message. Like, get out there. Get out there on a dancing show.
Yeah,
or something.
Just do it. Yeah. Yeah,
just get out there. Get in their face. You say,
dancing
good morning,
with the thalidomide stars.
Yeah, and then people.
I love the groans. Like, is thalidomide babies even a thing anymore? To be upset about.
It's like people being upset for Dracula.
Captain's hat is confused.
That's our friend Adam Goldberg.
Hi, Adam.
Adam Goldberg has affected a skipper hat. Are you?
We'll see you on the Lido deck after the show.
Adam Goldberg has retired from being a Harmontown character by his own account. He's now going to sit in the audience and slowly become Captain Crunch. Like, he's going to put more epaulets and medals on. He's going to have a parrot in his shoulder going, not in the show, rap, rap.
And he's gonna tear up the roof of our mouths. Yeah. As Captain Crunch is known to do.
You're supposed to put milk in there, Doug. You're supposed to put milk in.
Even
them.
With the milk, there's something.
You
got to
get them so soggy before they'll tear up your mouth.
Yeah. There's something in there that's slow. I think it's just like peeling. It's like a chemical peel. Milk or not.
Yeah, that's why I'll have the crunch berries, because they're a goddamn relief. Next to the crunch itself.
They had a cereal called, for a brief period, they had E.T. cereal, and it was because there were Reese's Pieces in the movie that was peanut butter chocolate cereal in the shapes of little E's and T's, because I assume that they couldn't make them the shape of a bike or something. And it was so fucking good, and then it was like gone off the shelves immediately, and I know it wasn't because they weren't delicious, and I know it wasn't because they weren't selling, so it must be because they gave me cancer. I'm waiting to find out that E.T. cereal gave me cancer.
Or Spielberg came down on it for some reason.
Well, you think they tried to do it on the sly?
Yeah. Nice try.
E.T. and it says under it, extra tasty.
vitamin E and thiamin.
Phone a bowl of delicious. And it's just like, they got a kid on the box that's like a burn victim. That's like a...
Yeah. You're me. Right. Burn victims are funny. Thalidomide babies.
Thalidomide. Oh.
No. Burn victim. Yes.
We're gonna find. We're whack-a-mole in the audience. So yeah.
Whack-a-mole. Whack-a-mole. What the fuck? Yeah. I'm calling
what
you out.
What does that mean?
Sorry.
Have you tried Lincoln O's? Those are pretty good.
Lincoln O's. Lincoln O's.
Yeah, it's a new cereal.
Yeah. Just it tastes like freedom.
Freedom.
And raspberry.
Wait, is this a real thing or is this like
no,
a Hustler cartoon?
Is it a real thing?
Well, I don't.
Lincoln O's.
Lincoln Logs, I guess, would be a good.
I guess in my
breakfast treat.
You guys remember Hogan's Heroes, right? This world has insane things in it.
It does. It does have the craziest things.
A sitcom about a concentration camp.
That's of the best.
All right. Well,
that was based off of the Billy Wilder film, right? Stalag 17, was it?
Wasn't what was
Hogan's Heroes? Wasn't it kind of based on the success of that film?
Yeah, it's like let's take the funny parts of that movie about the guys in a concentration camp,
right?
And then make it a weekly series.
Exactly.
Where the Germans are dumb.
Like, you know, I was pretty young when I first started watching MASH. But like MASH is the Korean War was really ugly, and it's a hospital. That must have been a good pitch.
Such a weird thing. And then you watch the MASH movie, and it's like a Robert Altman film, and it's like this weird meandering thing about this
bloody
war.
Doesn't it end pretty much with a football game?
Yeah. It ends the way a lot of ski movies end in the 80s. But you assume, because it's Robert Altman and the Korean War, that means something. You go like, well, fuck it. I'll vote for someone else then, I guess.
What happened to ski movies? Ski movies were a thing for a while.
We accomplished
Adam
it.
Adam Goldberg?
I was about to make a ski movie last week, so...
Shut up. Yeah. Perfect.
You were about to make one, but you had the wrong hat on. You were like, go get a ski hat and we'll talk.
You were about to make a ski movie?
Yeah, for sci-fi.
For real?
Yeah, I told you about it. It was really
scary. I wasn't listening.
Do the listeners love it when he talks a lot off mic like that?
Well, not off mic. Some of them like it when he talks on mic. Some of them don't. It's like a whole thing.
But can they hear him, what he was just saying?
No, they can't hear him, really.
So, and you don't bother to repeat it?
Sometimes we do. I mean, you're an old pro.
He's like, eh. Don't worry about it.
Sometimes the mic's picking up. I don't know. I kind of like, I let God decide.
You know? You were God.
That's a smart...
I am
God.
God. I let me decide. So it depends on how much I've been drinking. I mean, Doug, I'm sorry. I'm not audio running my show, like a steel trap.
Hey, it was just a question. I know you have a lot of moles to whack.
He's a mixed bag. If you open this box, here, watch.
Is that what his profile says on Twitter? Mixed bag? Oh, here we go.
A microphone is dangerously being extended towards Adam right now.
Oh, he's pulling it out of the stand because he likes to hold on to it.
Because he's a pro.
Yep.
Oh, now what's supposed to happen?
Nobody knows.
Now the host of the show has no microphone.
It's the danger zone. No, last week I was hired on to production manage a ski movie called Avalanche Sharks. Swear hand to the Lord. And it was renamed Avalanche Shark, then Avalanche Sharks, because they couldn't determine how many puppet sharks should be furnished for the script. This was a huge source of contention. So they're still making ski movies, but they keep killing all the actors with puppets.
So this is a movie about people skiing, and then there's an avalanche, but inside the avalanche there are sharks?
Or the avalanche was caused by sharks. I couldn't get through all the way through the script I was supposed to be working on. Yeah, that's about it.
Now he's going to get the microphone back.
Microphone is going back in the stand.
It's a good call, Dan. There you go.
Adam Goldberg, everyone.
Thank you, Adam.
Worth a try.
That does bring up an interesting point. As a fan of movies and probably a fan of crappy movies and talking about them, what's your take on the kind of the sci-fi original movement of like Mansquito and Gator Bater and you know, human dental floss and like things that you're like 10, 15 years ago, if you saw these titles, you'd go, holy shit, you know, like I'm sure you seem like you might be around my age, like the greatest thing used to be to get high and go to the actual video store and walk up and down aisles and look at pictures and read backs of boxes and go to like sci-fi kickboxing sections and go like, holy shit, these people are trying as hard as they can to make a good movie. This is their Citizen Kane. Let's watch the result. And now in this post Piranha 3D, post like Mansquito world, it's like no, it's supposed to be funny. Octahirana pterodona piranha shark gator. It's hilarious. Debbie Gibson's in it. It's funny. Like, and I'm kind of like, ah, fuck you if you think it's funny. Fuck you. Try hard so I can laugh at you.
Without video stores, where do we go now? I don't have one, but where do you go to argue with your girlfriend?
to really find
where
out
do you go to
how
have
many
a horrible
years the relationship's
evening.
Gonna last. Like, yeah, it's like you really want me to walk down this aisle? The Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan aisle before the actual aisle.
Dan, can we hear your pitch on human dental floss?
It's a guy. He works for the American Medical Association, and then he stops by the American Dental Association to tell them that they should be working together because dentists aren't paying attention to medicine. They're focused on the teeth. And he's a doctor. And so he's like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, pretty soon the whole world's going to be teeth, right? And then he... And we've got a virtual chamber to show you that. And it's like a tooth chamber. And he gets locked in it. And then they maximize the calcium rays. And he ends up between the teeth. But because of his medical knowledge, he's able to keep himself alive as his body is compressed by the teeth. So he becomes effectively human dental floss by page 20. And then he goes out in the streets and he finds that he's able... There's a lot of heavy-handed metaphors about cleaning the streets, you know. This place is needed, you know, a lot of... It's got gum disease. Its gutters are bleeding. That's a sign that it needs to brush harder. It's dumb. It's a dumb movie. It has Richard Marx is in it. It's very. It's purposely campy. It's stupid.
It's one of those.
Yeah. It's a fucking. It's a $1 million sci-fi original, and it's like, oh, I'm supposed to show up to watch you fuck around. I wanted to fuck around with my friends and some cheesy popcorn.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not into that they're making movies that are shit intentionally. They're just shoving things together and calling it a movie. I don't seek that out. There's plenty of movies that tried to be great and are awful.
Yeah, and that's what's fun.
That I like to watch.
That's why we have the Olympics and we don't have, like, shitty Olympics.
It's called Special Olympics, but... Close enough.
But those people try even
this
harder.
This show brought to you by Thalidomide.
The Special Olympians try as hard as real Olympians. They're just special when they're trying. That's the again, that's the
they
whole
probably
point.
Try harder and then don't murder their girlfriend through a bathroom door.
That's a reference I will pretend to get because I'm sure I'm supposed to be ashamed that I don't get that.
But that combines with, there was a guy, was Oscar Pistorius? Pistorius?
Pistorius? Pistorius.
Oh, he doesn't sound evil.
You really don't know the story of Oscar Pistorius?
Dr. Pistorius?
Write a movie.
From Beyond?
Pretend this is not real and pretend that this is an idea I'm pitching to you to make a movie.
Okay, I work at sci-fi.
There is a guy that ran in the regular Olympics, the last Olympics, and he's missing both legs below the knee.
What?
And they call him the Blade Runner.
The Blade Runner?
Because he has two...
Behind his back?
He has, no.
To his face.
To his face.
They're like, you're a replicant.
He has two metal, like, kind of hooky things that he runs on, and people like, and he runs like...
They look like springs. I thought it was cheating.
Yeah.
Do they know Blade Runners aren't replicants? Or might be, depending on which cut of the movie?
I don't think...
I want to know how much... Are they calling him a robot, or are they calling him, like... Because they're like blades.
They're saying he's a runner, and there's two metal things on his...
They're like blades. Okay.
Yeah, they're like springy, weird blade
things.
And
he was a big hero in the Olympics, and it was his big thing, and now he recently is under a murder investigation for shooting his girlfriend to pieces in the bathroom.
Jesus!
Shot her through the bathroom door. His story is that he heard noise in the bathroom, thought it was a burglar, because a lot of burglars, the first thing they'll do is take a dump, and... And he didn't bother to look to see if his girlfriend was in bed with him. That's the guy. Someone just handed Dan a phone with a picture on it. And he shot through the bathroom door because he thought it was a burglar.
Do you know what? Okay, am I racist because I assumed he was black because...
Yes.
But
yes, you are.
But,
because what?
But not because of the murder, because of the Olympian prowess, because of the...
Even legless black dudes are still racist. Better athletes than you.
But it was reasonable racism. You said he was like an amazing runner.
And he's from South Africa, but that's a Dutch colony, so you know it was a toss up.
I didn't hear South Africa. I immediately was just like, I just pictured a fucking amazing runner with like robot legs, and I pictured an awesome black guy.
Tell me, because it has to in some minute way, or maybe some grand way, affect you. Your new perception of this guy.
I hate him more because I was raised in the 70s. I thought if he was black, I was like, well, maybe, what did this woman do to him?
Turns out she was just beautiful and trying to take a shit. Hey, I know you got lots more things going on tonight. I'm going to take off, but
thank you so much for having me.
Thank
you, Doug Benson. Doug Benson read the writing on the wall when he got out on stage. He's like, if I'm going to get out of here in an orderly fashion, it's going to be because a professional schedules this thing.
That was very pro. He got a laugh and just boned out.
All right. To his point. Wait, should we talk about the Blade Runner? No, everyone's talking about him. Also, I'm kind of proud of the fact that because of my pop cultural... deafness, like I'm not plugged in at all anymore. We never talked about that fucking like crazy supervillain, that cop that went nuts and was like shooting other cops, and then they burnt him to death in a cabin and blah blah blah. I just wanted to bring up the fact that we never talked about it.
Well, also I feel like, I mean, it got a lot of media coverage for it, but then it was just kind of gone. It seemed like I think it was so much malfeasance and shit that went down. Like, didn't LAPD just like shoot up a bunch of innocent fuckers? like a bad cop got chased by other bad cops and everybody else died.
That was just a rug getting like foom, foom, like out in the middle of the room. And
I don't think I've told it in Harmontown. I won't make it a long story if possible, but like I went to USC and I was walking down the road with my friend Matt Gorley, who does Super Ego podcast and stuff, and we're walking up the road, and we've been playing like with pellet guns. Like, we actually had guns on us earlier, like little replica Berettas. We just shot little plastic balls, like before airsoft. We're walking up Figueroa Boulevard downtown South Central, and with another friend of ours, Kenny, and a car goes by us and backfires. And that doesn't really happen anymore. Like, you don't hear the old timey bang, like, you know, like the old, like, you know, like,
emissions, bro. You gotta get that shit checked out.
Absolutely. well,
you don't see a lot of dog shit either.
Our friend Kenny heard this old truck go by and went bam, and he just jokingly fell down like he had been shot. And then an LAPD cop car came U-turn and came up on the curb, going the wrong way on the street. And two guys emerged from it, two officers with guns out of their holsters, not pointed at us, but guns out of their holsters, screaming to me, "Oh." Kenny falls down. Matt keeps walking, and I'm kind of like just standing there, like, you know, like not taunting him, but like they're like, "Oh, funny bit, like get back up or whatever." And the cops screaming at me, "Get against the wall! Get against the wall!" And I'm just like freaking out, not like freeze, get your hands up, like not, no cop show stuff, losing their minds. And now at this point, Kenny's getting up and he's fine. I'm like, "Jesus Christ, what the fuck's going on? What the fuck is going on? You don't get the wall." I'm like, "What's going on? Like, oh my God." And Kenny's like, "The car backfired, bro." And they're like, and one of the cops is like, "Oh my God. Oh Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, we thought you killed him." I was like, "Put your guns away."
That story's called "Cops Are Human." I mean, they didn't.
Yeah, but how about
they didn't know who to shoot.
Here's a story called "Cops Are Human." Don't give them guns.
Well,
no more fucking guns.
But at least I don't know. I kind of that sounds like that's the best cop story I've heard.
I almost got shot to pieces because these guys.
You
were
didn't
fucking
almost get shot to pieces. They took their guns out because they thought that someone got shot and they didn't know.
But they weren't being cool about it.
Well, they. Thank God, because thank God they're not cyborgs or like I don't know.
No, fuckers get shot because they accidentally like
the bad version of the story would have been like if they pointed a gun at someone's face and were like, you know what I mean? Like I don't know. They panicked because they thought someone actually needed help.
A crazy post-traumatic stress disorder cop threatened to kill everybody in the LAPD, and their response was to go in and start shooting Mexican ladies and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, God knows, Jesus Christ. I mean, the LAPD is the only police force in the country, and I know this only because I wrote a sitcom script for called Cop House. So I researched.
I forgot that was the name.
I researched the. It was based on an internal idea about a bunch of.
It's about the house is a cop.
Yeah.
it's kind of like Monster House.
Here comes the neighborhood.
Yeah, a house. A house is so tired of being robbed and broken into.
It's set in the future. All houses are monsters, but some of them are trying to make things right.
Right.
There are over 18 million 911 calls about monster houses in LA.
One house has had too much.
I was researching the LAPD, and it was like in the wake of the Rodney King business, and then there was this other, was it on the tail of that or right before that, but it was like the Rampart scandal where there was an anti-gang task force, and the LAPD was like, "Look, we have a huge gang problem. Let's devote a force of police, like a little squad. You guys are just anti-gang in Rampart District. Like you, that's all you care about is just like gang activity. Just get it down," which is just like saying to RoboCop, just like, "Go get them, boy." And they of course make an amazing movie. I'm sure they probably made three bad movies about it in one sense or another that have like Jake Gyllenhaal or Shia LaBeouf in it or something. But
I think Colors, right?
But they essentially became another gang because they just got mired in it, and but the bad thing about that is that they're a gang that you can't call the cops on at all. So like they're a gang that has so there was horrible things happening. Long story short, and if there was a cop here in the audience or somebody that worked in law enforcement, I'd love to. I'm sure it's easy to like pinata are the most loathed.
We have an admiral over here.
But the LAPD is the only police force in the United States history, to my knowledge, that has ever been like, it had to have the Department of Justice like take it over and like oversee it. Like they every other city that you can name that has a police force, they have their ups and they have their downs and they have their scandals and stuff. But the LAPD just had so much shit going on in a row that at one point the federal government started running the LAPD, which is so close to Omni Consumer Products coming in. It's really fascinating, like the 90s in LA and the police force. Who cares? It's fascinating, so Google it. On the other hand, if you want to be entertained, listen to me. Sorry. Let's keep the show rolling and bring up more friends.
Who do you got?
Let's
start off with Spencer on stage for one. How about that?
All right. Spencer, our dungeon master.
I lost a button in the bathroom.
Yeah, I know. As you told me, you're so
coming
excited
up here
about the
ordeal.
Show.
Ordeal.
What's going on at the Apple Store?
Okay, so there's a thing called PI, physical inventory. It happens twice a year, and usually we get like 2 months to prepare for it. And they told us like 6 days ago. They're like, PI's in a matter of weeks. They told us under 3 weeks ago, I guess, around. And we're also two people down on our team, so we're kind of screwed, but also it's fine.
This is like, it's like sweeps week. This is like crucial times.
Yeah, yeah. See, as you guys might know, I count stuff, so this is counting to the extreme.
This is where the till has to match the...
Well, like, okay, so we have computers that we use, and we have, like, iPods that we use and iPads, and, like, there's a bunch of them, but we got to account for all of them and make sure all the iPads are in order, and they get lost. It's crazy. You wouldn't think you'd lose stuff like that, but it happens, and people hide them and stuff, so.
Yeah, you wouldn't think working in a giant warehouse full of really expensive...
It's a really small area in the back. Like, yeah. The floor is really... wide and expansive, but in the back there's like whoop 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 nothing.
Do Apple employees, is it possible in that, because those stores are so slick and they're so, it's such a well-oiled machine, is it possible to like steal stuff in the back? Like, is it, can employees, because I worked at Trader Joe's and I robbed that fucker blind. But those are potato chips and fucking beer and shit.
Like, when my older brother worked there, I heard stories of sometimes that stuff happening, but I've never seen it happen. And if I did, I probably shouldn't talk about it. But honestly, I haven't seen it happen. So
yeah, I would imagine it'd be hard to get.
I imagine they got this
because we count it so well.
Yeah, but like you said once, which is one of my favorite quotes. Sometimes you just count less.
Sometimes, yeah. That was a joke. Yeah,
that's great. For like a biopic where Spencer is like it's like a period film created in the future about like a great Apple thief.
We had an idea of stealing
batteries.
Sometimes
you just count less. He was Apple's most wanted.
See, here's the plot, though. When they swap out mice and keyboards, they give those back to us. They don't need those batteries. You take those batteries out, that's two double A's. That's a potential profit of, $3 to $4 on the black market, you know?
That's nice. So you're just swimming in batteries back home.
Just dealing in batteries. No, I don't know. It's a good idea, right?
No. Well, I mean, it could use a little work, I guess.
All right. We'll workshop it.
I have a retraction to make. Bruce Valanche.
Who Dan dealt a pretty strong blow to last week.
I said, to recap very as quickly as possible, what I said, my mistake was, because Schraub told me third hand, we were at the office, and he said, and I recounted this thing, like, oh, somebody wrote an article, and they said, hey, you should fire Bruce Valanche from the Oscars, that's how you make him better. And Bruce Valanche wrote a comment under it saying, well, I'm very sorry you don't like me, but we all wrote that Oscar opening together and blah blah blah. It's definitely a cautionary tale. This is how urban legends and gossip get started, because somebody linked to that article. I went and looked at it, and Rob was not inaccurate in what he was reporting to me, but the Asian American telephone of it all turned it into We've been over this.
You could just say telephone game.
When I was in the Midwest, it was called a Chinese telephone.
Why would you balk at that? You assumed a murderer was a black guy earlier.
Because we already talked about it on this podcast, and I don't want to become Prairie Home Companion where it's just like, oh, bebop a rhubop rhubarb pie. I know I'm racist. We get it. Okay. But I looked at the article that we were talking about, for those of you who listened to, you know, a couple episodes back, and I looked at the comment that Bruce like wrote, and I don't think that he's guilty of anything worthy of me like maligning him. He said we wrote and we rewrote the Oscars together, kind of like, which is in general is true. I mean, we did sit there in a room together and try to write jokes that Hugh Jackman should be saying. He never said like I wrote the reader dance or anything. Like, he didn't claim authorship of like anything. He's not a weird liar, Bruce. If you're out there listening, you're just weird. So I feel bad. I've also been wrong about other things offhand. I repeated some thing. Erin McGathy always opts out when we go through the TSA checkpoints, and she keeps saying this thing that I repeated on stage, which is that they're not a government agency, they're a private company. And then somebody tweeted me and said, "What the fuck are you saying? What are you?" I looked it up, and that's not true either. So one should be careful sometimes. You know, one should tend one's own garden. That's how you stay honest. You don't have to worry about saying something that needs to be retracted. Spencer's mom is a lesbian.
Yeah, so retraction there. You didn't actually end up fucking her, right?
Why do you think I would call her a lesbian? That's a title I reserve only for women that won't do it with me. All right, well, let's keep the bullet train speeding along and bring up Kumail, because he's going to play D&D.
All right, Kumail Nanjiani.
Hello.
Was that I thought that was the THX sound. My congested ears heard that as the...
What was it?
It was, it's one of our rap beats.
It's pretty racist.
Beat. By
the way, I worked at a school that had laptops, and I was responsible for about 300 laptops, MacBooks, and I probably lost about 70 of them and then quit before they could count. And it sucks because I became friends with these people. I worked there for 5 years. And I was really good at having them not find out that shit was missing. That was like the only thing I was good at. And so when I was leaving, it was this house of cards. And I was like, hey, I'm going to quit. They were like, what? But we need you. And I was like, you're going to find out how little you need me.
When you find out how much you wish I was here to answer questions.
Yeah, exactly. And I just left. And I ignored their calls, and I just never fucking talked to them again.
Wow.
And it wasn't my fault. I never stole or sold any of them. They were just disappearing.
It can happen, man.
I don't know what was happening.
Crazy, right?
I should have done PI more often.
Yeah.
I bet everybody's got a story about an early job they had where they walked away from it with just in fucking, like they just burnt down behind
them. I know. If you think of like 70 computers, each one about $1,000 even, that's over $70,000. And I just left. I moved to a different city, and I changed my career. And I bet if they see me on TV, they're like, there's that fucker who like... Because I swear to you, that program went under year after I left.
Bernie Madoff of Apple...
But I didn't benefit from it.
So somebody there was pinching him? Like somebody was...
I don't know. This was on the south side of Chicago, which is like a pretty rough area. And kids were always like getting...
It's the baddest part of town.
Yeah. Bad. Yeah. Yeah. Leroy Brown, is that what we're doing?
Yes. We're doing bad Leroy Brown right now.
Fuck you, man. He suckered me into that. I hate Jim Croce.
I'm just saying, Kumail, if you go down there, you better just beware. Of a man named Leroy Brown.
These children don't know what you're talking about. You're just being a weird old man right now.
No, my rendition is so accurate that you could Shazam this conversation.
He got it back.
Yeah. I had also...
Shazam's still a thing, right? Can you still Shazam? Was it called like Bahuki? I don't know.
Yeah. Bahuki. Yeah. With cops, by the way, I grew up, like I said, in Pakistan, and it's so corrupt there. Like, the cops are just uniformly bad, Pakistan and India. If you watch any movies from the 80s or 90s, the bad guys are always cops. So I moved, and I'm so... I hate them. And I'm like, I don't know, I still distrust him.
It's terrible, because you can't think of a worse job, a job that no one would rather do. I think it's like school teachers, cops, let's throw in stylists. We need to, no, I'm kidding on the last one.
just school teachers and cops.
We
obviously need them.
Don't you think you break the cycle by throwing in a country where I know that every penny counts, but we also have spent more on worse. Like, don't you break the cycle by like going, hey, from now on, being a cop pays a lot. And don't you think? Because right now we're at this place where it's like, it doesn't pay that much, and you might get shot.
And the people who go into it, like, you need cops, but a lot of people who become cops, you don't want to be cops. I was walking across the street. I was jaywalking with my wife, who's not very threatening looking at all, and these fucking cops pulled up, and they started yelling at us. And they had me up against the wall, hands behind my back, and I was so fucking angry. I was asking them. I swear, I was like, "So is this the biggest bust you've had?" And I was like, "So is this why you got into the game?" I called it the game. And Emily's like, "Just shut up."
What'd you say? What'd you say?
They were so, and Emily just, and I'd just done a show at the Echo at the Echo. And I left a bit early, so while I'm there, all the people who'd just seen me at the show are walking by, and they're like, hey, great show. I'm like, okay, cool. Not a good time right now.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, my God. The next week you were opening, though. Opening's bad. Closing. My brain is dying.
By the way, have you seen posters for Sharknado?
No.
There's a movie called Sharknado.
Yeah.
It's set in Oklahoma. during tornado season.
Yeah, and it's a tornado, and the poster is, there's a hand-drawn, like a tornado with like shark heads poking out of it.
I mean,
are you
doing a bit, or is it real?
No. Yeah. This is real.
Oh, I thought you were just doing a fucking thing.
No,
it doesn't matter.
This is real.
That's the problem. It doesn't matter now.
It's real.
Sharknado.
There would be like nothing. They'd be dead, right?
Yes.
These sharks, they're dizzy and dead.
If you're auditioning for the role of the mayor in the first act, you're hired.
Guys, we have nothing to worry about.
Come on, they'd be dead.
They're dead.
Can I be the sharkologist?
Yes, the annual corn festival stays open.
We've known two things about sharks for 50,000 years. One is that they live underwater. Two is that they can't stop moving. We thought the first thing was what was keeping them alive.
You're good, Dan.
It turns out they only have to keep moving. No one has ever kept a shark moving out of water.
And
just like a truck shark.
What if the tornado is water? What if it's a water tornado? That's like a big.
You're talking about a hurricane. That's the sequel.
But there's one house that won't be taken over by the Sharknado.
Shark House.
Cop Monster House.
You should have a movie called Shark House. I'll find the Sharknado picture for you to prove that it wasn't just a lame bit I was doing.
No, you don't
movie.
Have to prove it. That's the sad thing, is that now irony has become... I think it's a good thing. It's an invitation now to, like... I think that we used to live in a world where the division between the people who made entertainment and the people that consumed it was so thick that it was one of the most enjoyable things was them doing their job wrong. But now we can all do it anyway. So now it's like, now of course the first thing we're going to do is go, hey, this show's called Dick Gator. Is it part dick,
is
part
it
alligator?
I thought it was a gator who's like a dick. Douche crocodile.
Yeah.
But here's my problem. If there already is a thing, is it already out or is it...
No. Here's the poster. I forgot to mention this. The tagline is, enough said.
No.
I think we need a bit more.
No.
Look at that.
Not enough said.
Enough
said.
No, the sharks are dead.
Enough said exclamation point, which is another weird thing. Enough said!
But how about this? There is a thing that's already being made called Sharknado, but the one Adam Goldberg was talking about is called Avalanche Shark. They didn't even go like Shark-a-lanche or...
Sure, if you've just tuned in, sharks are officially the new ninja.
Is it Avalanche colon shark, like Mission colon Impossible?
I don't even... It was both, and it was neither. It was Avalanche Shark, then it was Shark Avalanche, then it was Avalanche Sharks when they had three puppets.
And then they cut back on the number of puppets.
Yeah.
And then they cut back on the number of production managers.
And that's when you jumped ship.
And then it became an evening with a shark off Broadway.
Just so, yeah, I was born a little shark.
And then it finally became Argo. That's how Hollywood works. Like, yeah, you start off with this.
No, it's crazy. Yeah, yeah. It's true.
Good rewrite.
So I'm gonna guess.
Tremors was a kind of a parody of Jaws. Like, Tremors was written like in the 70s.
Really?
After Jaws was popular, they wrote this script that was like, you know, it was like, they're sharks, but they're under dirt instead of water. And it took that long for Tremors to come out.
I like Tremors because, is it the third one where they start flying?
Yeah.
And then the fourth one is because Michael Gross is the only one who keeps coming back.
Yeah,
he's done all of them. So there's one that's set in the Wild West. It's a prequel. And there's Tremors there.
Yeah.
Michael Gross's ancestor fights him, which at that point...
Played by whom?
Michael Gross.
Yeah.
He's back. That should have like made the news or the lore, and they should have been like, hey, stay away from this area. Like 200 years ago, Tremors showed up.
Yeah.
And what are the odds that Michael Gross comes back? Guys,
well,
I have a lot of problems.
Well, on the local radar of one guy who stayed in his basement and started hoarding firearms. It holds up. I like the Tremors saga.
Shall we play some D&D?
Let's do it.
All right, Aaron McGathy, would you join us on stage, please? Oh, Jesus Christ, don't ever, ever, ever sneak up on me like that. Hello. Aaron McGathy, everyone.
Hey, guys. Sharks.
Yeah.
Her mic is not on.
Give it a try.
Sharks.
There we go.
Shark lobby.
It's good news, though. It means there'll have to be a new...
There's going to be a nerd shark movie soon, I bet.
Nerd, like a half nerd, half
He's
shark?
Just like, because nerds are, you know, the big thing right now. Shaq called himself a geek today, which I'm like, come on.
Nerds will have to come up with new ways. Like, the robot ninja Abraham Lincoln shark laser, like kind of like that concept that all comes from this
pirate. Yeah,
it comes from this period of time when it was like we were being dispensed entertainment by this big thing. So there's like this wacky packages irony going on to it. These aren't Crayola crayons; these are Crackola crayons. So we're living in a kind of a satirically dead age. That will be a precursor to like a new, I think,
sincerity.
A new reckoning.
Yeah,
where I will be completely like I'll just be a dinosaur, as if I'm not already. But like I'll be absolutely. Like, I don't even know why that's funny, and everyone will be like, "Exactly." Step aside.
There's some shows on Adult Swim that make me feel so old.
I watched
Squidbillies? Have you seen that show?
No.
It's impenetrable.
I'll tell you something I watched that made me feel 20, like fucking the most powerful guy in the room. This movie, The ABCs of Horror.
Oh, how is that?
It should be called 26 Channel 101 Rejections.
What also sucks about that format is that you're hyper aware of how much of the movie is left.
Yeah,
because you're like, I'm only at the G.
Yeah, the good thing about it is knowing you're never more than 3 minutes away from another. But you start to go like, it's not starting. It's never gonna start. And even if it does start, it's gonna putter out.
Yeah, four minutes. Yeah.
I think we started feeling pretty OCD about it. Like, ooh, we're already 20 in.
Well, we started the first 11, kept going like, so C is for carnivore. C is for, and then we started like, what are we doing? It doesn't matter, because somebody actually told me that was a part of that project. They said, yeah, we got them, and we had to shuffle the order because we had to. So we started pretending that the letter was different.
They changed?
Like, if you made a shitty one called the H is for helicopter, because it cut a guy's head off, but it was so shitty, they would just go, let's just say
it's for hatch.
P is for pilot.
Yeah.
And let's tell the P guy that
That sucks.
Yeah, it was very clear that the words didn't inspire the horror. Also, barely any horror. Literally, like, four or five, and I say in quotes, scary ones. There was a cartoon about a woman trying to get her poop inside a toilet.
What do you mean?
That.
I mean, is the poop out of her or is it in her?
There's a woman. It was animated.
Is this pee?
No, this is poop.
No, pee.
Oh, I see.
No.
Nice, nice. Classic.
Thank you very much.
We're going to be touring together. Shoes and socks, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
She's shoes, and I'm Kumail.
What do you say, Kumail?
Shoes, you got to get in.
All right, it's D&D time, I'd say, on that note.
That's my catchphrase.
Spencer, if you would, catch us up.
When we last met, the group was plumbing the depths of the ruins of Mershul. Krista Berg was caught in a deadly wall-crushing trap. Thinking quickly, the rogue found a narrow escape and leapt with great alacrity through a hole in the floor, landing in a dank, dark chamber. Sharpie, Quark, and Mulrain were not far behind, and after some crossed wires, the group managed to slide down the button staff. Working on unlocking the chamber door, the rogue toiled while the rest of the gang searched the room. It wasn't long before the group was besieged by snakes. After seeming to fall for Mulrain's animal husbandry, the snakes transformed into Yuan Ti, sinister serpent people. After putting on a seemingly clever disguise, the Hat of Disguise, the gang tried to convince the snakes they were holding a hostage, but Quark's talking dagger ruined the gang with his sharp tongue and foul move. Down, but not out, they launched into a new gag, Quark creeping behind the lead snake and Sharpie pushing him over the crouched halfling, tripping him. This spooked the snake people into loosing their volleys of poisoned arrows, which struck Sharpie in his chest and arm. He began to feel drowsy, and as if he was feeling numb. The party managed to kill two of the foes before the last member of the group fled in snake form, managing to elude the party's grasp. After combat ended, the rogue managed to finish picking the lock on the door, peering through the crack at the massive treasure room before them. Just then, Sharpie felt a rush of dizziness and lost consciousness. Thump.
You did it again! All right. I'm convinced, Spencer, that you've listened to this podcast, you've timed out the music cue, and you write this to be timed perfectly to this.
I mean, the thing is, like, I write it on my iPad nowadays, and I just write, like, the same size
the
of
same
text.
The same size, yeah. It works amazing, well. Yeah.
I heard there's a video of you, the way there is, of Bruce Springsteen practicing his opening. No? Okay. there's an urban legend or a real tape out there. It's like somebody is like, I don't know if it's just urban legend or if there's a real tape, but somebody slept over at Bruce Springsteen's house and found a tape of him, a VHS tape of him practicing, dancing in the dark in a mirror.
Really?
Circulating around. It's probably an urban legend.
I'd love to see it.
From like back in the day?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
Is it like that the Metallica drummer guy? The guy that drummed the entire Black Album?
That exists, right? And that's just a guy.
That was fucking great. All right, so what's going on? We're looking at it. We're looking through a crack in the thing.
Bruce Springsteen? he was a guy. I know. During Reaganomics, it was we had to make sure it was extra cool to be lower class.
Reaganomics.
So we rolled out some rich people with bandanas.
That was the best class in history, was Reaganomics. I mean glossary term.
Can we see that Sharpie's fallen down?
Who is Sharpie?
Yeah. That's Dan.
Oh, okay.
So he's
can I have like an HBO original series dream sequence?
Yeah, you're in a dungeon though. I mean, like, you're having a dream
sequence.
But I'm
unconscious.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. So I'm on a beach.
Oh, we don't know that. And then someone is getting stabbed.
I look out over the ocean, and instead of the sun rising over it, it's my dad's head. And I start to run away. And I run through a nearby jungle. And I come to a cabin. And I go inside, and there's a birthday cake. There's 13 candles on it. And a fish in the middle. And I pick up the fish. And it looks at me and says, Sopranos reference. So I put it down. And I go with my second thought. I go to a fireplace and I start to stoke the flame, but there's nothing but oatmeal in it. And then I wake up. Or cut to them.
cut to them.
Hey, what do you guys think he's dreaming about?
Same old stuff, probably.
So I'm working on the lock.
What's, huh?
I'm working on the lock.
You had just picked the lock, and you guys had opened it. And
there's treasure inside.
In the room, yeah, there is treasure. Let me see here. You can see a large stone chamber, in the center of which is three large humanoid statues, and next to them is a small wooden shed and a few wooden buckets. Behind the statues is a massive stone staircase leading up about 80 feet in large tiered steps. At the top is a massive sarcophagus made of obsidian. It's surrounded by several chests and barrels and baskets of goods, I should say, heaped up in some form of tribute. In the middle of the staircase is a massive, deep, black crack, and inky darkness blocks out any light that you could help see into the small cave. You see coins tossed around the cavern. I mean, the chamber. It's a chamber.
Do I have any sort of antidote or something I can use on him?
I don't know. I mean, does it say anything like that? You shouldn't.
I shouldn't?
I don't think so. I mean,
well, you created me, so I'm sure I don't.
Yeah, but it happened a while ago.
I have heal moderate wounds, do I not?
Yeah, but this is more of like a sleeping poison.
Oh, it's not deadly.
Well, you don't know, really. You saw it. It's freaky. You all know, right. he was woozy. And
I reach into my sack and take out a pen, and I draw a dick and balls on his forehead.
I teabag him.
Yeah.
And I put like a cover him in swastikas, and
we tried to get the horse to fuck.
I take his hand and I pretend that we're getting married.
I put his other hand in a bucket of warm water,
and then I just piss on his hand. Non-intuitively, I piss on his hand.
This weirdly brings the three of us together.
That's a way to revive somebody in the barbarian clans. We would frequently to pee on someone's hand was a great way to bring them out of a stupor.
Was it a great way? Sounds like the worst way.
It was the only way.
Okay. All right. Well, we should probably look through. Go up. He'll be here.
Yeah. I examine the statues.
Okay, so you examine the statues. They're beginning to fall apart. There's several cracks, and you can see the faces are worn off. That's from you're still. Do you want to enter the room?
Yes, I enter the room.
You enter the room.
Hey, your pee kind of like rubbed off the dick on his face. Do you want to redraw it?
I go back in and I re-ink the dick and balls on his forehead. Because that's going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Would one of my sleep arrows do the opposite?
Well,
like Ritalin or something?
You don't know.
We should shoot him with it just to be safe.
Wait, you're going to shoot him with arrows?
With a
just
arrow.
To be safe.
Like a light switch.
I do my best to murmur things in my sleep that make it clear I was bullied as a child. And or molested.
Not another bath, Mom. I'm already clean.
You guys hear this and feel bad for your pranks.
How clean can you get?
I put on... Can I put on...
I feel dirtier after you clean me.
Can I put on my hat of disguise and become Dan's mother?
Okay.
Okay.
It was bound to happen.
That's technically something that can happen, yes.
Well, I'm just saying maybe it would wake them. All right. Did I do it?
Yeah. Well, your disguise is what you think she looks like. You don't actually know for sure.
That's just Sharpie without a beard. What happened when he examined the statues?
I went back in to redraw the dick and balls, but yeah. Now I go back in while this is happening. Slightly creeped out by a woman in love with a man pretending to be his mother while he's asleep.
Not creeped out enough to not pee on him.
No.
Okay.
I go into the room to look at the statues while that goes on.
Okay. There's three statues. A couple seem cowed in admiration or maybe subservience. And the one is larger than the other two. Its arms are stretched out in triumph. And you can see words scrawled on the base of the statue, but you can't really read their language.
I can read that language, right?
Supposedly. I mean, you don't know. You haven't seen the writing.
Christopher, get in here. Some writing you might like.
Oh, hey. Oh, I'm a writer, you know. I attempt to read the writing.
It says Marshalk.
It says Marshalk. What does that mean?
You realize that it's part of the history of this plane. Marshalk is an ancient and dark god worshipped by the Yuan Ti.
We're fucked.
I kneel down next to Sharpie. Oh, hi.
I'm clean, I'm clean.
Becoming his oppressor is not going to help the situation.
I'm going to undo it. I'm going to undo that.
All right, yeah, fix it.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Good job in that bath in there.
Good job. I like praising someone after they've been molested. Took it like a champ. Have you done this before?
I just wanted to let you know that what happened in there doesn't make me love you any more or less. I just want to promise it's not going to happen again.
I just want to impress you with my spells.
Oh, I know. You know what? I exist in every enemy that you encounter. Any hole that's too dark.
I love my enemies. I hate myself.
Oh, no, 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 no. I want you to compartmentalize me, okay?
Compartmentalize all humanity. Compartmentalize everyone.
Okay, I'm letting you go.
No more feelings.
No. Hey, not to butt in. I don't think this is working.
Okay. What do you...
But keep trying.
Magic.
I don't think you should be so turned on right now.
Touch it.
Okay, no. No.
I awkwardly walk over to where he is.
It's dirty. Clean it.
Okay.
It'll always be dirty. Clean it. Hey, what's
going on? You know, any positive feelings that you have about me, I want you to transfer them to Mulrain. And any negative feelings, I want you to imagine them going into a dark devil's box.
Mulrain's
devil's
job
box.
Is to clean my penis.
Not a vagina, just an actual box. And imagine it being set on fire and then being eaten by a monster and it goes away forever.
Women, clean my penis. Vaginas are on fire.
No. Okay. I take the hat off. I take the hat off.
How did that go?
We'll find out when he wakes up.
I made some big mistakes, you guys. I thought I understood Sharpie. I don't think I do. I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry.
No one understands Sharpie. He's a mysterious fellow, you know.
Yeah.
He means well. He wants to help, but there's for all of his gifts, there's clearly a deep pain that he masks. And look, I've tried to clean that penis so many times. Every time he falls asleep and has one of those dreams, I'll clean it, I'll do it. And I'm constantly just jerking him off while he sleeps. And it never seems to get him. It just makes it
never
worse.
Never clean.
Okay, I'll be right over.
Hey, what? Maybe I should try it. That might. I've never cleaned his penis.
Can I give Chris my hat of disguise so he can become Dan's mother?
Sure.
Maybe you should try a different disguise.
No, I think this is what we're going.
Okay.
I give Chris my hat of disguise.
Oh, hey, I'm back.
Never seen you looking so lovely as you did tonight.
Never seen
I'm
you
so
shine
dirty.
So you're amazing.
I'm dirty. Hey, I don't want to do this.
Fine.
I feel like I need a shower.
I grab whoever is near me in my dream and hold them tight.
I think it's Chris.
Oh, fuck.
Chris, run!
Hey, dude. I stab his arm. Do we need to roll a die?
With a knife?
Well, but just very lightly.
Yeah, no, he's asleep, so it's not a task to hit him.
So I hit.
Yeah, you strike him. I'm sorry. Yeah, you strike him.
Well, I'll just... Yeah, but not to hurt him.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
You do 4 non-lethal damage.
That means you love me.
You wake up. Now you're awake.
Oh, hey. Did you have any weird dreams or anything?
Yeah, the usual.
Okay.
You want to go out, just go freshen up? There's a little,
do you want to take 5?
There's a room with a mirror in there.
You guys didn't.
No, we'll do it.
You assholes. I go and look in a reflective pool.
You have like swastikas and dicks. And
it's swastikas made of dicks.
Yeah. You're in a right state.
I'm going to keep these here forever.
That's the way. Own it.
I want you to feel bad next time I'm saving your life. It's going to be a guy with dicks on his face that you drew.
They come off.
No, I'm making them permanent with a magic spell.
With like a magic marker?
Yeah.
Maybe a Sharpie?
I'm gonna make them magical through a special ritual called not bathing.
We looked at the statues and it says that in the stairs that go upstairs, right?
Yeah. But they have a giant crack in them.
So we can't jump over the crack?
Well, I mean, you have rope, I guess, so you could probably...
Should we go up? I have rope.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's try
it. The rope.
How about this? I'll hold the rope. I'll fasten the rope. I take the rope. We tie one end to Krista Berg, and I tie it around me and also fasten it to one of the statues, the cowering one to the side, and hold, as an anchor point for the rope so we can walk up. And if anything bad happens, Krista Berg, I'll reel you back in.
As you tie the ropes, you feel a chill go over the room, and you feel an odd presence. You can hear a voice. Oh, sorry. Do you want to go?
Nope. Go ahead.
Sorry, man. No, it's fine. It's fine. You hear a voice echoing through the chamber. What new morsels have been tossed into my cell? You hear thudding footfalls and the clinking of metal rubbling against metal.
Luckily, you...
Is that the guy from the Pepperidge Farm commercials?
Pepperidge Farm! Yeah.
Luckily, you're covered in piss.
That's true. Out of the crack in the staircase protrudes a draconic head followed by a large green form that you know all too well. A dragon.
Oh.
Its toothy jaw opens in anticipation, and bright green globs of saliva dripped onto the floor, sizzling and bubbling on impact. Its temples are crowned with a frilled hood that extends like a cobra's laterally down the body. An odor of chlorine clings to its scaly hide, and it glimmers with an emerald sheen. Around its neck, you can see an iron collar and a few long chains dangling around as the beast moves.
Hey, how about you try going up first?
Well, yeah, he already came out. I'd say get back here and let's regroup for a concerted attack here.
Is he within... I get back with them.
Okay.
Is he within arrow shot?
He is, yeah.
Is he chained up? He's got chains around
him? He has chains around his neck, but you can't see whether or not they're attached to anything at the moment.
Oh, okay.
I shoot 2 sleep arrows.
2 sleep arrows.
If he falls asleep, I'm going to draw so many dicks on him.
One of the arrows strikes and hits him right in the neck. He doesn't have any effect. He stays awake.
I do a far sword attack.
Far sword attack. Pulling your flaming greatsword from its sheath, you unfurl a far sword attack. The streaking blade of wind goes awry and hits a wall or something. It's wind. You can't see what it, you know.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Hey... Sharpie, should we look at this book and see maybe there's something in this book?
I think it might be that might be for another time. Like, I don't know if we have time to do that in combat. Am I wrong about that? We can't just hang out and...
Okay. He opens his mouth wickedly and sprays a corrosive green spray of acid, but you all manage to dive out of the way.
Is it possible for me to wear my hat of disguise and look like the dragon's mother?
It's limited to humanoid forms, so...
Okay.
No. No being the answer there.
I have a disguise.
You dodged his breath weapon. That sucks.
That's crazy. You could have all died there.
Really?
Yeah, it's sad.
Why does that suck? What kind of person are you?
I'm a sadistic person.
Hey, what's a... I have a poison dagger.
Yeah, you do.
Can I throw it at him?
You can throw it at him. You can stab him with it. You can do other things.
What's stronger?
It would be stronger to strike him with it, but that would also, you know, you'd have to be in range of him. That's
you don't
want to
get too close,
dangerous prospect.
What do you guys think? Should
I
throw it?
I think you should throw it.
I attach a rope to the dagger and throw it so I can get the dagger back.
Quickly tying a knot around the dagger. You tie a knot around the dagger.
Is that my turn?
No. Okay, now you throw it. It only goes a pitiful like 6 or 7 feet. Yeah. Also, the knot undoes itself.
I feel like the... I feel like the pitiful was editorializing.
No. You rolled a 4 on the tie rope to dagger and a 3 on the throw dagger to dragon. So that's the dice.
How many dice do you have over there?
I got so many dice, man. Right. Hey, how many dice do you need?
Let me ask you something about my spell, Reduce Person.
Yeah.
Can I cast it on myself?
You can.
I think you already got that cast on you 5 minutes ago.
It was reduced self-esteem.
We did future damage.
I'm going to cast it on myself. My plan is to get around behind his line of sight as a tiny thing that's so small that in a dragon's world, it's negligible.
Nice. All right, well, then I'll remind you that you know it would shrink you down, but only to about a little smaller than a quark size.
Uh-oh, just like a little guy?
Yeah.
Okay. not like a...
What did you do? You look like Willow.
All right, okay.
Why don't you cast one of your crazy animal spells? Like
I'll cast Summon Monster 2. Yeah.
Summon Monster 2. Okay, let's see here. Celestial Giant Bee, Celestial Giant Bombardier Beetle, Riding Dog, Eagle, Devil, Squid, Wolf, Monstrous
Shark Centipede,
Monstrous Scorpion, Fiendish Shark, Monstrous Spider, Fiendish Snake.
I'm going to go with... No, come on, guys. No ironic monster summonings. These are waterborne beasts that will simply lay there and die. I summon the scorpion, the giant scorpion.
Summoning a giant scorpion. With a snap and a swish, it appears.
Hey, could you have him pick up my knife on the way back? On the way back. It doesn't have to do it on the way there.
It awaits your orders.
Huh?
It awaits his orders.
Attack the dragon, will you, Keith?
I grab the knife on the way back.
And see if you can grab Christenberg's knife.
On the way back. You don't know how to do it on the way there.
Yeah. On the way back from killing the dragon.
I take out my lute and I sing, Keith, attack the dragon. Because fuck you all. I'm sorry.
With its wicked sting, the scorpion attempts to attract the dragon, but it bats the sting aside with a flutter of its wing.
I fire 2 V arrows. But Spencer, for real, I'm really aiming this time. Like right at his eyes.
Do I have to explain to you dice again?
Dungeon snap.
Spencer.
Well, that's probability. I mean, that's math.
No, I know. It's just the way you...
Well, that's why it was funny, I hope.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. Right?
They laughed, Spencer.
Yeah.
We're fine.
Keep on doing it. Yeah, okay.
So
one
what
of
happens?
Your arrows flies to the left and misses its mark, but the other plants itself right in the dragon's chest. How much damage does it deal?
Probably a lot.
So much damage.
8 damage.
Ooh.
I take out my mysterious emerald dagger and I ask it for advice. I didn't realize it talked. Can I consult my dagger?
Yeah, man. Hey. I'm sorry to be a dick. I just like stabbing people.
Well, how do you feel about stabbing daggers? I mean, dragons.
I can stab a dragon. I mean, do you want me to stab that dragon?
How about this? I'll go into a berserker rage, and we'll do some dual tag team dragon stabbing.
Hey, on the way back, could you pick up my...
Yes. Well, I'm going to be in a berserker rage. You'll probably be the last guy you want.
On the way back.
Okay,
you don't have to do it on the way there.
All right, okay.
Sure.
Thanks.
You got it.
Actually, before I do that, I just go over, pick up his dagger, and bring it back to Krista Berg.
Okay, but you can't attack now.
Oh, shit.
No.
Oh, wait.
All right.
Sassy dagger and Berserk Rage dragon attack.
Flying into a berserk rage, you all but lose your consciousness before you launch yourself directly into the clutches of the dragon.
So
just some math here. Yeah, no, you strike it right in the neck. Scoring a seemingly deep slash on its flank, you manage to deal... That's not too much, you guys. 11 damage.
Oh, shit.
That's still pretty good, I
can
guess.
Can I try and intimidate it? It says I can intimidate.
You definitely can try to intimidate it. What kind of thing do you just want to be like, hey? Or do you want to, like, say something? You know, you could have arguments or you could just make noise. I mean,
I could be like, hey, I had a song. It was number one on the charts for a long time. So back off.
What's your intimidate score? You know, on the skills?
It doesn't say anything.
Do you not have any ranks in it?
Well, it's checked.
Okay, it's checked. So you then that's just your charisma modifier. What?
As I'm intimidating him, I sneakily grab my knife.
He seems to flinch back a bit as you intimidate him, and you manage to grab your knife. He regains...
Is it possible? I don't know dragons all that well. Is it possible that he's being chained there and he's been imprisoned by something? And that we could use diplomacy to
raging.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
that's the thing.
I'm sorry. Is it possible if we free him that maybe he would be like cool? Like
maybe.
Yeah, let's get a thorn out of his paw. We just attacked his ass. Like he's
before he attacked that. You. I should mention. Yeah, you. Just,
yeah, I know.
That's right. Yeah, I know. Fuck this guy.
So fuck him or
I put it at Dan's turn.
Oh, I have a thing in my inventory that says four paralyzers.
Yeah.
What are those?
Do you remember when you were in the Infinifish and you went to the store, you bought some rope, some potions, and some paralyzers?
Okay.
What are those were syringes full of presumably paralyzing fluid.
Okay. Are they? Do they come in ready injectable syringes?
They come in large syringes. Yeah,
you can just buy that stuff. That's like if you buy like condoms and rope, they shouldn't let you do that, right?
I give one to Krista Berg because he's better. He has skills that will enable him to get in close to this thing that I don't have.
Yeah, I could sneak.
And I say, go stab this thing.
Cool.
This D word.
Can I use my sneaking? I use my sneaking to go and stab him with the paralyzer injection.
Okay. So you hand him the paralyzer and you attempt to sneak. Oh, hey, that's a good sneak. You can't be seen. You definitely can't be seen. The dragon is occupied with Quark right now and attempts to attack him with a few of his limbs. This could be dangerous, you guys. Artificial tension.
That's a great filmmaking device. The director should just come on and be like, this is very scary. It's called the M. Night.
He strikes at you with his wings and his claws, and he manages to not hit you with those. I mean, he doesn't manage to hit you with those. But then he nips at you with his powerful beak. He bites you right in the hand. Not your dagger hand, of course. Well, not of course. I mean, that's a reasonable thing that could happen. Dealing 7 damage.
Ooh! My tootsies.
Yeah, so now you're sneaking.
Me?
Yeah, now you're sneaking. Now you're nearby him. You think you might be able to do something. And as best as you can tell, he hasn't taken notice.
All right, I stab him with the paralyzer.
Where do you, like, in the face?
Right in the dick.
Right, sorry.
I'm sorry. Where is it softest? Eye?
That, I mean, the dick might be the softest part.
You never Depends know. How much he likes fighting.
Yeah.
What is your comedy team called?
Yeah, Fighting Dicks.
You stab him right in the dick with a paralyzer syringe.
Now we're talking.
Because I stabbed him in the dick.
before depressing the plunger and injecting him full of paralyzing fluids through the dick.
Take that!
His dick goes numb.
That's all?
Well, I mean, for right now.
All, hey guys, I numbed his dick, so he's gonna last a longer time.
Well, now everyone's common fear is.
If you have any spermicide, I could maybe do that too.
Why don't you buy him a Ferrari while you're at it?
So it didn't work?
Well, I mean, it hasn't completely taken. Poisons take a while to work.
Oh, I see.
Let it circulate from his dick to his dragon brain.
Is it whose turn is that?
Aaron. Yeah, Aaron's. Sorry, I'm just.
Oh, that's okay. I shoot a single, and this is hard for me. I shoot one arrow between his eyes.
Oh, hey, you hit him between his eyes.
Hey.
Dealing some damage. Dealing 11 damage. Yeah, that's pretty good, you guys. Now he has an arrow sticking out of his face.
And a big gash in his neck, right?
And a numb dick.
That's the state of affairs, yeah.
Can't do hat of disguise. I was going to hat of disguise myself as the sexiest dragon.
What about my scorpion? What's my scorpion doing?
It's, you haven't given it orders, I guess. But
no, you had him attack.
Wait, the scorpion's just been hanging out while this is going on?
While we're stabbing it in the dick? Well, there's a giant scorpion just standing there?
Your last turn.
Waiting for orders?
Scorpion's still doing my last quarterly taxes.
He's like, this is not the best use of my talents, but okay.
I write off my mileage. I tell Keith the scorpion to please attack the dragon for God's sakes. What am I doing here?
He misses.
No!
Keith.
He's rusty.
Yeah, he got cold. You know? Yeah.
If you weren't summoned, Keith. I'd fire you.
You had him on the bench for too long.
Keith's good at writing songs and making bracelets and stuff. Just say the name Keith.
Am I still in my berserk rage?
Yeah.
Okay, then I go back for another sword attack.
Going. Going.
I use my climbing ability to climb up to the tallest statue and then leap at him to try to plunge my sword right in the top of the dragon's head.
Okay, well, that's going to be a climbing check. In your barbarian rage, you can't figure out how to climb.
Shit!
What are you trying to do? Let us help you. Okay. What's your end game?
All right, so I'm freaking out over here. I can't climb the goddamn statue. Everybody get on each other's shoulders and lift me up and put me on top of the statue.
Hard to listen to what you're saying when you're just running against a wall.
So I'm still by the dragon, right? I'm still up there with him, and he hasn't seen me.
He's too numb in the dick. Yeah, no, he. You really were hiding so good. He doesn't see you right now. He's actually occupied with Keith.
Who's okay?
Can I toss Christaberg a second paralyzer?
That'll be a bit tricky.
Oh, can I throw him a rope and can he tie it?
No.
No? All right.
You don't have a.
Can I summon a second scorpion to make Keith like feel like, you know, there's stakes?
Can I put on a hat of disguise and become Dan's mother again?
Yeah, you could. And you could summon another scorpion if you wanted. Yeah.
I summon a second scorpion. I'm hoping that capitalism will emerge.
And you send him to attack, presumably?
Yes, of
course.
What's
his name?
David. Keith and David.
Keith David?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
David critically strikes the dragon in the side of the head. That's true. Dealing 12 damage.
Yeah. Now that's how you scorpion, Keith. Why can't you be more like David?
Keith looks dejected.
I have a red cap poison. Can I stab the dragon with it?
Yeah. So that's one of the poisons in your dagger. So
should I
do
that?
The dagger. Yeah, if you want.
Okay. Stab him.
You see the dragon seems a bit less lucid, a bit loopy, if you will. You stab him. Your dagger manages to, you know, pierce its hide, but only just a little. It doesn't seem to have any effect. You might want to, you know, I mean, I don't. You guys want to end it here? It's going to take a while. What, if you want.
How many
cliffhangers? I'm just saying.
Are we allowed to know how many power, like how many
power pellets?
Power pellets.
Energy. What's his energy bar? Health bar.
Is this dragon half dead?
Yeah, he's about half dead.
Okay.
He's about half dead.
Okay. Half dead cliffhanger.
Half dead dragon.
Thank you very much. Spencer Crittenden, everybody. Aaron McGaffey. Kumail Nanjiani.
Half dead dragon. I was kind of a half dead dragon tonight with my congestion and my inability to put thoughts together.
Are you going to go drinking afterwards? You're going to call it a night?
I don't know. Well, why stop now? I don't know. Yeah, I feel like alcohol kills germs, right? Yeah. Isn't that, that's what they used to tell us in when we first started drinking and when we were 13. And we'd go, if you had to share a glass at a party, they'd go, alcohol kills all germs, bro. That's what I heard. I never bothered to look into it past that. Let's close the show with the greatest rap.
Oh, shit.
Really?
You feel like you've got this right now?
No.
Do you have a beat you want to do, or should I just throw one at you?
Just throw it at me.
You want sexy and slow or something more upbeat?
Give me sexy and slow.
What's on your mind right now before we start?
I don't know. Failure.
Entropy. Did you finish your script yet?
No.
How does that make you feel?
Bad.
When was it due?
January.
When do you think you'll turn it in?
May.
For real?
I don't know.
Is it any good? Is it any good?
I don't know.
Honestly, what do you think right now?
I don't know. I can't write. I can't write anymore. My brain is dead. I used to have sparks connecting the little things. I just don't have it anymore. I got it. Something left. I angered it with my ego. God left my body. Used to hang out, like do stuff through me. Now I'm just an asshole hanging out.
Well, because you feel there's too much expectation that you deserve it now. It's easy. You proved that you could do it. So now it's, you know, it's just all the apples are going to fall
too
off.
Much
the
too much thought about me and like what I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. Too much thought about me writing. I'm writing. I'm going to write something. Me. That's not how it's supposed to be.
How do you get back to the place where the universe moves through you?
You get destroyed. You don't get handed a bunch of money by people. You end up back in the gutter. You hit rock bottom. You become human again.
Are you semi-consciously sending yourself back to the gutter by doing this? Is this self-annihilation to kind of achieve that?
Probably. Mom.
Go to sleep.
All right.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dig deep, Harmon.
Smooth rap. Smooth rap from the heart and soul. I got smooth rap, not rock and roll. I got a road runner going down the street. I got a coyote chasing me, wants my meat. His name is Money. He wants to eat my ass. I got the Howard Hessman at the head of the class. I got some rhymes come easier than others. Got a retarded sister, got a dumbass brother. I got two parents that live in Miami. They're not in Miami. I had a girlfriend named Tammy. She had a mental breakdown after I fucked her. Start over. Give me a different beat. I don't like that beat. It's the beat's fault. All right, here we go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So dead.
Yeah.
That was
the
annihilation.
Yeah.
You just died, so now the universe can move back through you again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sunshine, raindrops, and candy. I fucked your mama like she was named Mandy. I fucked your mama in the school and the gym. I fucked your mama like the legend of Nim. She was... I fucked your mama like a mouse. I fucked your mama in a two-story house. I fucked her upstairs, downstairs, fucked her in the cellar. Fucked your mama so hard she turned into a bank teller. She said, withdraw, no deposit. Fucked your mama so hard I put her ass in the closet. She was next to the broom, she was next to the mop. Fucked your mama so hard she started to slip, slop down the street like pussy was wet. I fucked your mama on a bet. I lost it, I didn't win. That's... I fucked your mama out, not in. I fucked your mama. Wait, give me a chance. I fucked your mama, didn't take her to the dance. I fucked your mama, made her feel real bad. I fucked your mama, she's the best I ever had. I compensated, tried to make her... Oh, shit, sorry. Okay. All right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. This is a long track. You got all the...
No, different beat. All right. I blame Jeff tonight.
I blame you too. No. There we go.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this is the one.
Yo.
I feel this one.
Yo.
You got lots of time, but it's not going to end.
Yo. 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 Yo.
Yo.
Yo.
Yeah.
Saying nothing but speaking my mind. I fucked your mama like a rabbit came up from behind. I put my mouth on her neck, mounted her inside. I put my lupine penis in her womb where I find my rabbit sperm, fertilizer rabbit eggs, made little rabbit babies that had rabbit legs, and they got eaten in a restaurant. I fucked your mama so hard she didn't flaunt her meat on the menu. I fucked your mama. It's not tenuous.
Come on, Dan. Dan, make it personal. Don't deflect it.
Personal rap, sitting in bed. I got stars on the ceiling dancing over my head. Your mama's uncle comes into my room. He puts his hand on my thigh. He says, shmoom is what you should have, but you don't. Shouldn't be a boy, you're a girl, so I won't do too much, but I'll put my dick in your mouth. I grew up in the South, and this is all fake confession. That's a fake Harmontown
session. Make it real.
Tried to force with regression, but all right.
Look, maybe it's time for you to actually physically experience a death on right. stage, and then you can be reborn from.
Oh yeah, that'll be a first. Silence in the room, hanging weightless like in a womb. Just gonna wait for the words to come. I fucked your mama like a finger, fucked her like a thumb. Hanging out in outer space, I'm only thinking about class and race. I'm floating through in the atmosphere. I fucked your mama so hard her eye went in her ear. She looked like Sloth from the Goonies. I fucked your mama, she was a roomie of mine in college. That was my knowledge. I want to fuck her so hard. She'd fuck shit. Hold on. Hold it. Lost it. Fuck your mama in the moment. All right. Wait. Hold it. All right.
Shh. Everybody, get those hands up.
No.
Get them up.
Here we go.
Feel the energy now, Dan.
All right.
Dan, look out of the corner.
Okay. Yeah, there's like eight people. All right.
This is the best.
Yeah.
But I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and watch you do this. Look at this. What is this dance?
Oh. Feel it.
I'm going to have a heart attack.
This is humanity. Look on it. Accept it. This is what you are underneath. Underneath all your credit cards and your real estate deals. This is what you look like. All right.
It's so much more real than I expected.
Cosmic journey through the light and dark.
going out to make the truth stark. I'm going past the stars and the planets. I fucked your mama.
I gotta figure out a way to end the show.
I got nowhere to be.
All right. There's not gonna be any. Okay.
Space. Time. Lemon.
Lime.
Salt.
Pepper.
Cow. Heifer. North.
South.
Mama.
Mouth.
Eye. Nose. Flower.
Rose.
Garden. Plant. Mama. Pant leg. Dressing room. Pussy. Womb. Gary Busey. Gary Busey. Give me a second.
It's
like the master. Remember the master?
Yeah.
All right, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Just let it go, man. Let it all go. All
right.
Let it all go. Do your little dance again.
Mystical sorcerer cauldron. Witches, swords, fuck your mama.
No, okay. All right, hold on,
Cauldron was a toughie. Cauldron was tough.
It doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to rhyme, Jeff.
But you had Buzz Aldrin. You had all kinds of...
Come on, Jeff.
All right, sorry.
All right,
you can take it. Start with a cauldron and
bubble. Mystical, sorcerer, cauldron, moon, Buzz Aldrin, astronauts in their space suits, rocket ships. Fuck your mama so hard, a tooth came through her upper lip, came down her throat, sperm went into her stomach, formed a big sperm moat. There was a castle in the middle, fit as a fiddle, put waffles down there after they were on the griddle, said, bitch, I just made you a meal. Then I fucked you from behind, how's it feel? Now the food's going front and the dick's going back. Come back to me for flapjacks at lunch. I fuck you a whole much more bunch. I fuck your mama for lunch. I fuck your mama so hard. I'd only do it because I want to, not because it has to.
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody. I'd like to thank our guests, Doug Benson, Kumail Nanjiani, Aaron McGathy, Spencer Crittenden, Captain Adam Goldberg. I'm Jeff Davis. Dan, you're going to get him next week. You're going to get him next
All
week.
Right. We'll get you next week.
Your mayor, Dan Harmon, everybody.
So have the courage to try something and fail. That's what we learned tonight.
Yeah. It's a weekly show.
Yeah.
You can come back.
We'll see you in a week.
Thank you all. Good night.